From the WGXC newsroom, this is the Weekend in Review. Some of the stories that made the news from Friday, February 10th through Sunday, February 12th. I'm Philip Graham. Robert Downen is reporting in the Times Union that rallies both in support and against Planned Parenthood were held throughout the Capital Region on Saturday, February the 11th. At the Albany Planned Parenthood on Central Avenue, more than 1,000 people, including national, state, and local politicians, rallied in support of the organization. Ariel Zangler reported in the Daily Freeman that a group of 40 supporters took over a corner of Broadway and Grand Street in Midtown Kingston on Saturday morning. Many in the group held pink printed signs with messages supportive of Planned Parenthood. Under the Republican-held Congress, Planned Parenthood advocates fear that access to health services will be defunded. Federal money does not pay for abortions, but the organization is reimbursed by Medicaid for other services, including birth control and cancer screening. Anti-abortion activists also staged rallies around the country over the weekend, calling for the federal government to cut financial support to Planned Parenthood. However, in some cities, the counter-protest in support of the reproductive health organization dwarfed the demonstrations, the Associated Press reported. A few hours after the Albany rally, an anti-Planned Parenthood march was held in Troy, where dozens of people voiced their oppositions to allocating tax dollars to the organization. Gary Allen reported in the Chatham Courier that a recent proposal to build horseshoe pits in Chatham's Crellin Park has led to a controversy over alcohol in the park. The Chatham Lions Club proposal included a request that service of alcoholic beverages be allowed during tournament play. The Lions eventually withdrew the proposal. After hearing the idea, more than 70 residents signed a petition against allowing alcohol in the park. Town Board member John Wapner proposed a policy with two options: prohibit alcohol at all times or give the board the power to allow exceptions if an event organizer secures a town permit with a clearly defined area for sales and hires a licensed vendor to sell and distribute alcohol. The town's existing policy prohibits smoking and alcoholic beverages in the park. The board said it would invite their insurance company to speak at the 6 p.m. March the 2nd workshop meeting about the issue. Matthew Hamilton reported at Capital Confidential that State Assembly member Democrat Felix Ortiz announced on Thursday, February the 9th, his plan to reintroduce legislation that would impose a 5-cent fee on plastic or paper shopping bags used for purchases at shops, supermarkets, service stations, and retail outlets statewide. The idea is that retailers would pass on the cost to customers during checkout, thereby creating an incentive for the use of reusable bags. Ortiz called for New York to join California and more than 150 communities nationwide and take the step forward to protect the environment. Ortiz said in a statement, and I quote, "Disposable plastic bags are a nuisance. They litter our streets and subways and are clearly harmful to nature. Let's stop debating taxes over these bags and do the right thing. Eliminate them completely," end quote. Ortiz put forward the proposal just as state lawmakers voted on legislation last week that would delay the implementation of a bag fee in New York City. Diane Walden reported in the Columbia paper on work underway in Columbia County to respond to what is believed to be an opioid abuse crisis. County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matt Murrell, Republican of Stockport, included an effort to confront this problem as one of his 2017 goals and formed a committee to develop a response plan. However, because information for only 1 year is available, the local numbers are small and the full scope of the problem is still unknown. The State Department of Health reported that opioid overdoses contributed to 11 deaths and 46 outpatient emergency department visits in Columbia and Greene counties combined in 2014. Several local officials, including the County Director of Public Health, the County Sheriff, and the County Stop DWI Coordinator, all believe opioid abuse has increased in recent years. Several members of the County Committee want to see a program developed in collaboration with Greene County officials. Murrell requested the committee solicit more input, including from Greene County, before anything is released. Meanwhile, the committee will continue to meet and develop a response plan. Kenneth C. Crow II reported in the Times Union that Hoosick Falls now has more problems than just the toxic PFOA chemical in its drinking water. The State Departments of Environmental Conservation and Health said on Thursday, February the 9th, they have directed Honeywell to immediately conduct a study of the volatile organic compounds triloethylene and 111-triloethylene at the company's former John Street facility. The first chemical is considered carcinogenic. The second can depress the central nervous system. Honeywell stated in a letter to Village residents, and I quote, "During the course of the PFOA investigation, where the results were being validated by an independent party, we discovered volatile organic compounds that exceeded New York State standards in groundwater and soil that was collected from locations at and near the former John Street facility," end quote. The letter has been posted on the Village website. The Village Board will discuss the issue at its next meeting on Tuesday, February the 14th. Josefa Velasquez reported at Politico New York that only one half of the patients certified for New York's medical marijuana program have purchased a drug more than once, according to the State Department of Health. Of the nearly 13,000 patients certified for the program, 10,250 have been dispensed a medical marijuana product, and of those, only 6,400 have purchased the product more than once. Ari Hoffnung, the CEO of Viro Health, one of the state's medical marijuana manufacturers, said, and I quote, "This data is unfortunately not surprising at all. The lion's share of the patients do not regularly use the product," end quote. "There is a difference," he said, "between the number of patients certified and the number buying the medical marijuana. The state's medical marijuana program is one of the most restrictive in the nation. Five organizations that grow and dispense medical marijuana in New York have complained there are fewer patients than expected and sales revenues have been far lower than what the Cuomo administration anticipated." Chris McKenna reported at The Fray that U.S. Representative Sean Patrick Maloney announced last Wednesday that he and Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey have reintroduced legislation that would reinforce the constitutional right to a legal defense by allowing class action suits against states that fail to adequately provide public defenders for indigent criminal defendants. The two Democrats first introduced the Equal Justice Under the Law Act last year. In the House, 16 of Maloney's fellow Democrats signed as co-sponsors. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service's winter storm warning for the WGXE listening area remains in effect through today, Monday, February the 13th. Additional snow is expected. Winds will increase, becoming strong and gusty late Sunday through Monday, causing considerable blowing and drifting of snow. As for today, the National Weather Service is predicting a chance of snow mainly before noon. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 33 degrees. There will be a northwest wind at 21 to 33 miles an hour with gusts as high as 41 miles an hour. For Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 18. Wind will decrease overnight. The forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 33 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of snow mainly after 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 19. And on Wednesday, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 36 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of snow showers before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 22. Sunrise today was at 6:52 a.m., and the sun will set at 5:26 p.m., That will give us 10 hours and 33 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weekend in Review for today, Monday, the 13th day of February, 2017. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.